Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air, kicking off another week of Southern Miss Sports Talk here on Super Talk Mississippi. Glad you're with us. Bob Kelly, Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Bright blue skies and cold air. That's what we've got here in South Mississippi. What a weekend for Southern Miss Golden Eagle baseball. The Golden Eagles are flying high. This morning's RPI, number 7 in the country. D1 has the Golden Eagles ranked 12th in the nation. Perfect Game has them ranked 10th. The USA Today coaches poll just comes out. The Golden Eagles are ranked 12th in that poll as well. And that, of course, is all coming from an impressive three-game sweep in Texas this weekend against Baylor, Oregon State, and Purdue. And we bring Coach Christian Ostrander on the show every Monday. A special thanks. I understand it was close to 2:30 in the morning when you fellas got home last night, Coach.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it is what it is. Nobody really cares. So we got to, you know, get as much sleep as we can and get ready, you know, for today and preparing for tomorrow's game.
All right, Coach, I want to go through these three games with you. But overall, I'd like to get your overall view and really, Friday and Saturday, just stellar pitching from your staff. And even though they threw a lot of walks yesterday by Southern Miss standards, you still hold Baylor to one run. So overall, throughout the weekend, your pitching staff lived up to every expectation, Coach.
Yeah, I was very proud of them. I thought they competed well. They piled up a bunch of strikeouts. The hit column was probably, you know, well under our standard, which is one per inning. And for the most part, you know, we threw a lot of strikes and minimized freebies, but yesterday got a little sideways. Both teams did. And that's usually indicative of a pretty tight zone. And yesterday it was a hitter zone for sure. But, we made the pitches when we needed to and got out of some jams, obviously. And it was just good all around.
Here's one thing that just sticks out at me, and then we'll get the guys here involved. And lots of strikeouts, minimal base hits from the opposition. But, Coach, I think I lost track of the number of times that the opposing team would get two runners on base, a lot of times second and third with one out, sometimes with no out. And time and time and time and time again, your bullpen shut them down. They did not score a run. Pretty impressive.
No doubt. I mean, you know, I don't know if we go 3-0 or win, you know, that tournament if we don't navigate some of those situations, which is a great lesson, great teaching moments for the guys that were on the mound at that time and the ones that are watching that, you know, you're never out of the fight. You just got to take it one pitch at a time and not try to get three outs in one pitch. Just focus on one at a time. And I thought our guys did that well in certain moments and were able to get big punch outs and when you needed it or get a pop-up in the infield and so forth. So, those are some good characteristics that hopefully will continue to show for the next 50, 60 games.
Oz, I guess when you look at the lineup, can you talk a little bit about the play of Seth Smith over the weekend? I mean, almost in every moment, he just delivered with a huge hit for you guys or a walk. It feels like he's really found a way to break into that lineup.
Yeah, it looks that way to me as well. I mean, you know, he's we got two good guys who can play short, and I guess you know it's a hot hand. You play it and go, but clearly he's seeing the ball well, and you know since that opportunity he got, you know, last Tuesday at Southeastern, you know, got that big hit, you know, when we needed it to help us, you know, really win that game. It just hadn't missed a beat. So he's seen the ball well, putting some good swings on it, and really a big part of things this weekend.
And then you talked about your pitching in the last answer, but Camden Sundstrom on Saturday night against Oregon State to finish that game for you guys really set you up well for the Sunday game, of course. But that slider was working for him, and Oregon State really didn't really have any answers for it.
Yeah, I mean, we kept going to the same trick, and which usually you kind of you got to change, and but it was working. They weren't seeing it, make no mistake, that slider's really grown and improved, and it looks like it's fastball. I mean, that's why the hitters swing at it. All right, I mean, it's not they're not just swinging at it because it's it's spinning away from them. They out of the hand, it looks like it's fastball, and that's a great combination. So he's got plenty to keep him honest with the fastball, and then when the slider's doing that kind of action, it's going to be tough.
Coach. I was going to ask you about Davis Gillespie in just a second, but when you call pitches, Coach Oz, do you have tendencies?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you kind of know what – you watch a ton of video. It's, Coach Leger and I are really dissected. Coach Leger calls a lot of the pitches too, and then we bounce off each other. I'll call, everything's, we're doing it together and stuff. And he's done a phenomenal job of helping me out. And I feel like, together we are, maybe stronger. And we watch a ton of video. We come up with a plan. We spend a lot of time together, and we know how we're going to attack guys. And with the information that we have, you kind of definitely see tendencies.
And then can you tell us about – I was so glad to see Davis Gillespie finally light it up this weekend, because I've always loved not only him as a player but the way that he approaches things and just gets his nose to the grindstone and worked himself back into the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we need him to do what we saw. We need him to be a threat. We need him to protect Bull. We need him to, just be one of those cogs in the middle of the order. He's strong as an ox. Thus, the 112 mile an hour exit velocity, home run he hit off Kleinschmidt the other night. That ball screamed out of there, and so we need that. That's a threat. That makes how you pitch the guy ahead of him and possibly what the guy behind him gets. It influences the lineup. So that's what he is, and he's an opposing force, and we need him to be that character, that superhero we like to call it. Put that costume on and be that guy.
Coach, let's go to games 1 and 2. I'll talk about your starters for a minute. Colby Allen and Graydon Harris. These guys go 10 innings, 13 strikeouts in 10 innings. Certainly the best we've seen out of those two early here in the year. Is that fair to say?
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, two starts into it. Clearly these outings were better than the first.
Yes, sir. And what was it in particular about Graydon Harris? He just almost seemed untouchable. What is his secret?
Just really staying what we call kind of directional, linear. He's a rotational pitcher, and if you have too much of that, if you don't make sure you stay on your line and stuff, it's the strike percentage is going to get influenced. And I felt like he really controlled his body well. And very directional. And again, you might not, I don't know if I'm making sense of what I say there, but really, staying in that zone towards a plate instead of peeling off of it. And therefore, strike percentage goes up, and he's got plenty of stuff. So when he's doing that, he's going to be a handful for anybody.
Oz, I know we talked about this a little bit before the tournament, but I guess now that you're through it, how important is it and cool is it to play three different teams over the weekend, kind of sets you up nicely for a regional down the road where, you're playing multiple teams per weekend versus, like a series would versus one team?
Well, it's miserable for the coaches, I can tell you that, because Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, you're doing scouting report. Mm-hmm. So, miserable in that regards, but for the players to experience that, yeah, that's what a regional feels like.
Yeah.
That was a four-team field that certainly could be a regional. So we kind of can look back at what we call chapters 5, 6, and 7 and say, hey, that weekend was kind of a regional field when we get to that point. And yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good to be able to play in that. And it was just a fun environment, man. It was first class. Golly, everything about it—the park, the way they treated these young men—they just every I and T, every I dotted T crossed, and very, very, very well put on tournament.
Well, speaking of Seth Smith, Coach, I don't know if you're aware of this. We're going to ask him about this later this week. They did kind of a fun interview with your team before the tournament started, and they asked every player that I saw, who is the one person on the team you would not want dating your daughter? And it was unanimously Seth Smith.
No kidding. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but I'll be dang. I didn't know that, so I'll have to figure that one out, too.
So we're going to ask him about that later on.
We'll have to get
the
investigative team on that.
Yeah. The Eagle Hour Investigative Department will be working on that, Coach. If we break that news, we'll certainly let you know.
Okay, I appreciate it.
We're talking to Coach Christian Ostrander after a glorious weekend of Southern Miss baseball, and they go out and they win it all against Purdue, Oregon State, and Baylor. Now, don't go to sleep because another top 10 team coming to the Pete tomorrow night and then a trip to Louisiana Tech. So we'll look ahead a little bit and reminisce a little more about this great weekend and tremendous start for Golden Eagle baseball.
Actually, it's only appropriate, Bob, that we go into the break with REO Speedwagon's Keep On Rolling.
There you go. Right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. That's where Matt Warner and his staff invite you to see them for premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. And, of course, the opening segment, as always, was sponsored by our good friends at Dickey's Barbecue. We have Christian Ostrander on the phone with us today and have our Monday conversation. All right, Coach, we mentioned it at the top. Number 7 RPI, number 12 in D1, 12 in the USA Coaches Today poll, number 10 in Perfect Game. Used to be that Coach Barry would tell us the only time he ever knew about the ranking is when we would tell him on Mondays when we would call him. Do you pay a lot of attention to them, Coach? And what is this early season love that your program's getting mean to you and your program?
No, I do not pay attention to them. I'm grateful. I'm happy for the program. You know, this program deserves recognition for what it's done for so many years. So that's great. It's great for our fans. It's great for, you know, whatever, all that stuff. But for us, you know, from the coaches, the players, this staff that's day to day, it doesn't mean anything. It's we're just focused on tomorrow, the next game, and I feel like, you know, that's our job as coaches to keep them focused on, you know, on the prize of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do, not the noise around it. So because mm-hmm. that noise around it can leave you in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So it's very proud for the program. I think it means the world to this program and fan base, but from the internal part, man, it doesn't mean a whole lot to us.
It did appear that, and you sort of mentioned this to the guys in the break, but it just did appear that everything from the broadcast to the stadium to everything that we could gather about this tournament, watching it all weekend, that it was really first class and just a real compliment for your program to be invited to something like this.
Really, really was. It was put on well, you know, peak events and D1 baseball, you know, they rocked it. And then that facility, you know, got to meet the president of that, you know, the Round Rock Express, and they were so great, you know, appreciative of us being there and just warm, and from to the grounds crew to the you name it. I mean, they just treated these guys like rock stars, and you know, it was very easy. There was, like I said, they told you exactly where to park, exactly where to walk in, and when to get your food, and just it was really enjoyable.
Well, with the past 2 weekends, Coach, of course, it's a long baseball season, but it feels like we've, you know, Southern Miss has gone through a lot, you know, in just the 7 games you guys have played. But I guess that's important, right, to win in so many different ways this early in the season, because you got a long season ahead of you. The season, you know, we're still in February. There's still several months left. So that has to be important to win in so many different ways.
No doubt. You know, when we talk about writing our story here, and every game's a chapter, and every chapter you can go back on and you know, and just look and see, you know, what we do there and draw from it for a future game and stuff. And, you know, we hold the pen. We're the ones writing it. So, you know, we're in control, and how we where our focus level is, what our, you know, how we perform, execute, all that stuff, energy level, that we control that. You know, we control that, and that usually has an impact on how that chapter or story goes. So, you know, that's kind of how the approach that we have with it. And but it's, you know, we knew this was going to be a tough, you know, tough non-conference schedule, you know, getting out of the gate, and we just got to be ready to answer that bell. And for the most part, these guys have done a tremendous job of staying in the middle of the ring and, you know, knowing they can play with anybody.
Well, 7 RPI should tell you where that schedule is, and it does, actually. Coach, there's always high expectations of your program, but the incoming freshman pitchers as a group, again, expectations are high, but I'm not even sure that I would have thought that this group as a whole would have responded like they have. I just think they've been terrific as a group.
Yeah, you've seen poise. You've seen young men that are not acting, you know, like freshmen based on nerves or making more of it, and you know, getting sped up, if you will. They've showed poise, so very proud of that. That's a huge component. And so, if you have the poise now at this early age, now we're just going to keep growing and getting better and doing those things. And to have that sets up well. And we've got a couple more that just haven't had their opportunity. It's coming. I know it is. And, you know, stay tuned. So there's some more capability there. But, you know, if we're going to invest in that type of recruiting model, then, you know, this needs to happen. You need to be able to have some of those guys be ready to answer the bell early.
Some of the new guys you brought in making an immediate impact, Caleb Stelly, Kyle Morrison, they both had two hits apiece Friday night. And then a guy we asked you about during the break, Thomas Crabtree, really makes, I don't think it was his first appearance, but made a significant appearance yesterday and gave you some really good innings. He and Cross Ivley cover 5 innings for you against the Baylor. So the three new guys, Morrison, Stelly, Crabtree, look like they're all going to make big contributions, Coach.
No doubt. And, you know, assistant coaches did a tremendous job once again identifying the right transfer needs and the right people, not just the needs, but the guys that will fit here too, you know, fit into our culture. You know, so absolutely, very, very proud of that. And, you know, they're not perfect, but they're really serving important roles. And and hopefully moving forward, that will just keep growing.
Well, you got the Crimson Tide.
Now here they come. Right?
Yeah, and of course ranked, what, 6th in the country. My opinion, no, not that high. I don't think they've really played that significant a schedule up to this point, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you still got to put it in play and pitch it tomorrow night. What do we know about the Tide?
Good team. They got, you know, probably 4 or 5 hitters back from that team we saw in the regional last year and arms, and they're going to be well coached. I got a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Vaughn and what they do, and they got a good group. And you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be the hardest game we played or whatnot. We've played some tough ones, and so it's the next game on our schedule, and it's the most important one, and we're looking forward to competing.
When will you be ready to announce who you're going to put out there tomorrow night? Because that's kind of been a question mark with us here in the production meeting.
Yeah, I'm fixing to hit the field right after we get off this phone with our pitching staff, me and Coach Leger, and going to talk it out with some of these guys, just kind of see how they feel today and where they're at, and come up with a decision, and we should know something here by the end of the afternoon.
Fatigue at all an issue, you think, Coach, after a long weekend and a long trip, and then you got a game tomorrow night?
No, we'll be fine. These guys are resilient. They'll sleep tonight, be ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah, you told us one time, I think it was last year, that you get tired sometimes on these long trips, but it really never seems to faze the kids.
Well, at the end of it all, man, it doesn't matter, right? We got it. We got a responsibility. We put those uni on, and we got to go perform and compete and demand energy and from ourselves. So, yeah, I'm not. You know, I'll be fine, and I know those guys will be fine too.
Coach, you know, you get three big SEC midweeks upcoming with Bama, State, Ole Miss. I mean, I guess just how great is that for them to come to the Pete, right? Like, I know that you get the home and home with State, and I don't remember if y'all go to Bama this year. I know y'all went last year, but for them to come to the Pete 3 weeks in a row is just great for the crowd, great for the fans, and great for this program. Again, another nationally respectable game on primetime television.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm appreciative. They don't have to do it.
Right.
You know, we want to do it, and I'd love to do home and home with all of them, but us in State, we do, and us in Ole Miss, you know, this year they come here, and we'll meet them in Trustmark. Next year we go there, and then we'll meet them in Trustmark, and we just do an alternating home and home with Bama. So, but, you know, to get those five SEC games on your midweek slate, along with what we try to do non-con and then whatever the conference schedule is, you know, hopefully it's beefy enough to give us a chance to, you know, if we win games, to play postseason baseball in Hattiesburg.
We don't want to single anybody out, but we don't want to overlook anybody. I don't think we can have this conversation without getting your thoughts about Joey Urban and what a player he's become.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been saying it for a little while now, arguably the best hitter on our team, just maturity-wise, approach, you know, beating you in different ways from the, you know, pull side to backside. All that stuff, but just even better human being, man. He's a great teammate, and his teammates love him, and he's fun. He enjoys competing, and he brings a tremendous amount to this program, and we're so thankful he's here.
Well, Coach, I don't think anybody could have asked for a better start than this. This has just been tremendous, and we just look forward to every game now. We just think it's going to be
You know,
better.
We owe him an apology, Bob.
How's that?
Well, we all only said they'd win 2 out of 3 this weekend.
did you say that? I think
we all said
I did say that. I have to admit.
Sorry, Coach.
But it doesn't matter. They won all three. And that's really all we care.
Right.
Thanks, Coach. We really appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thank you all.
All right. Christian Ostrander, everybody. Man, he's got to be feeling good, Demo Mix.
I bet he's tired.
Yeah, he was that other red A, Arkansas.
Yes.
Sixth.
Yeah, Bama's has fooled me since 9 o'clock this morning. I'm glad Demo pointed that out.
Yeah, so Bama's not ranked. So Southern Miss actually higher ranked than Alabama. Tomorrow night, but Bama is just outside of the rankings according to D1 Baseball this morning. They're 7-1, still a very good opponent. No doubt about that. Next week, Mississippi State, number 4 in the country, coming to Hattiesburg, and then Ole Miss the next week in the top 25. So three ranked midweek games.
Post note: Mississippi State is ranked 4, that have yet to play a Power 4 school. So there you go. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Appreciate Coach Oz joining us every Monday, 1 o'clock. We'll have Travis Creel on the show this Wednesday. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. That's where you go for baseball, softball training, right there on Hardy Street. Beautiful facility. And our good friends at Forest Healthcare remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise daily. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. We're going to move on to other sports, but a couple of quick comments about baseball. First was the praise that the network crew that broadcasted the games heaped on Southern Miss all weekend was actually astonishing.
It really was.
It was really amazing, but it was such a joy to listen to. Also, I thought a joy to listen to, and I checked on him as much as I could as our buddy Jack Duggan did the play-by-play, and Dima sent me a great sound bite. Dima, go ahead and set that up while I'm trying to find it. I just lost it again.
Okay. Yeah, so Jack Duggan, of course, you know, John Cox, of course, normally does baseball broadcast, and he was at basketball, and then Jason Baker was at women's basketball. So Jack Duggan got the honors of calling the three baseball games this weekend out at Round Rock, Texas, which I thought he did a phenomenal job. For someone who isn't doing that each day and each week, of course, you know, and Jack has experience in doing that, of course, but you know, he did a tremendous job, and this was kind of what was going around Twitter of him calling the Davis Gillespie home run against Oregon State.
Put something on. That one swung on into left field. It is gone. Home run. Bullhorn, folks. Two-run homer. Davis Gillespie. A line drive just over the left field wall. And the Eagles three take the lead. 4-3.
That's just unbelievable. For a guy, by the way, for a guy who sits in the press box with Jack Duggan every single game and there is no cheering in the press box, those who don't know, to hear him cheer was just kind of cool.
Yeah, Kelly, I heard a piece during the weekend. They were talking about some other announcer that apparently was very historic in that part of the country, and they were talking about all the great sayings they had. But they repeated what I think is the greatest baseball play-by-play saying I've ever heard. And his tag when his team hit a home run was "Pucker them lips up, baby, because that thing is gone." I thought that was just awesome.
Mine was "Aloha on the steel guitar" whenever I called a home run, and that story is for another day. But while we're talking about baseball, we've talked about this pipeline of players between Pearl River Community College and Southern Miss, and it goes the other direction as well. And a shout out to Coy Clements, who is the current catcher at Pearl River. He was on the Southern Miss roster last year, third on the depth chart. But just to show you how this program at Southern Miss has been continuing to elevate, Coy Clements is now starting at Pearl River and is on a track. Now, it's very early, obviously, but he's on a track right now to set a single-season home run record at Pearl River Community College. And you're talking about some great players that have been through, including Tate Parker, who played at Southern Miss. Again, good enough player, but never – Southern Miss is so good that he didn't even really get on the field. So he's down at Pearl River now and just tearing it up. Yeah. And Pearl River's got a great team, and they're playing Division I junior college schools.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Coy Clements has been – tearing it up for PRC.
Another great example, you and I have talked a lot about this, was Seth Smith.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the field hardly all last year, and he was a demon all weekend.
Yeah, and I think
he won the job.
Yeah, I think so. I think moving forward, at least as of now, Seth Smith is going to be in that lineup. And I think there's an argument to be made for him to lead off in the one hole. He has the speed to do it. That they've tried a couple different players at the leadoff role between Staley, Morrison, and Higdon, and all of them have kind of just struggled in that one hole. And Seth Smith takes his walks. He gets his singles. If he can get on base for you in that one hole, you know, you get Urban there in the two, who's just been unbelievable.
I meant to ask him, let it slip my mind. Were you a little surprised to see Higdon, who has struggled at the plate, to lead off?
Yeah, I think that was it had to be a pitcher versus batter situational thing right there between Baylor starter and something they saw on tape, because I'm with you, that one didn't make a lot of sense to me. But you know, Higdon, of course, struggled coming into this weekend, 1-for-14 I think over the UC Santa Barbara series. Got some hits. I think he looked better this weekend, and he's going to continue to find his groove. But Seth Smith to me was the real story. Of course, Joey Urban, we all know what he can do from the plate. Russo, Gillespie finally, you know, mashing the ball, you know, so and some other players. But Seth Smith, to me, he made a couple plays defensively, but for me, I think he has an argument to be made to be put in that one hole.
He's baseball DNA, right? He's got the DNA there to play baseball. His father was in the big leagues. Baseball acumen off the charts. Not surprising to me at all. The only thing that might have been surprising is that it took this long.
So
but again,
smooth too. But smooth.
Again, it's because you're in this Southern Miss program where there's so many good players.
And off that, like for Ty Long, right? For the guy who won the starting shortstop draw to start, like this program is so deep that if you do not, you know, perform and you do not, and I'm not saying that Ty Long has done anything wrong necessarily.
No, he played pretty well too.
But Seth, you know, he's got the hot bat right now, and guess who Oz is going to probably ride with the hot bat? The guy with the hot bat.
And normally you would ride with some of those guys a little longer, But as deep as this talent pool is with Southern Miss, Ostrander doesn't have to.
No. Right. Well, let me tell you, no one on the team hits the ball harder than Davis Gillespie. When he hit that home run the other night, I mean, even the announcer went, oh, as soon as he hit. I mean, the second the bat hit the ball, everyone in the building knew that was completely – And it, Kelly, it's one of them line drive home runs. It's not one of those big looping, you know, moon shots. It was a line drive well over the left field wall.
Which that tells you about the guy's strength.
Right.
Because normally
he is a stud.
You want to get it up in the air a little bit and take it out. But when you hit it in a, on a rope over the fence, you're doing something. How do you think the ball felt?
Yeah,
hurt, injured. Yeah.
Shout out Heath Hinton. He called me earlier and he said that ball had a family.
All right, basketball had a good weekend too, right?
Yeah, terrible start Saturday against Old Dominion.
Quite a comeback.
It was. I think they
18.
Yeah,
18 points down.
Yeah. That was really something. And most of it in the second half. Yeah. So I mean, they certainly. One thing you can say about Ladner's teams is they haven't quit.
No.
And a couple of numbers when I break these numbers down. First of all, in the first half, Southern Miss turned it over like 16 times in the first half, and then 26 overall. Now, Old Dominion turned it over 19 times, so they helped out a little bit there. But the biggest number where Southern Miss won this game is they totally dominated the boards. The Eagles, 39 rebounds to 25 for Old Dominion. And Southern Miss actually, from the field, shot the ball better than Old Dominion. They shot 54.5%. to Old Dominion's 43%. Everything else was just about equal down the line, as you would expect in a game that finished 86-81. Yep. And it was a game that Southern Miss had to have if the men are going to try to work themselves into that 5 or 6 seed in the Sun Belt Conference. Now, they've got a weird schedule this week because this is the last regular season week for the Sun Belt Conference. So they will play at South Al tomorrow, a Tuesday. Then on Thursday, they will end the regular season up in Jonesboro. And the reason they need to get the regular season over with this week is that the conference tournament begins next week. And most of the other tournaments don't begin. Most of them. There are some that also begin. Other conferences are having their tournaments next week. But for the most part, every other conference is having their tournament the following week. So whoever does win the Sun Belt tournament will have a good long layoff to rest up and heal up before going into the field of 66 or whatever it is now.
We've talked a lot about parity with the Sun Belt men's basketball with the standings. Currently, as we sit right now, there is a possibility for a 7-way tie for first place at the end of this week. And that's a lot of people on Twitter are talking about it. It's a 7-way tie for first where if it's a couple of it's only possible if App loses to Texas State, Arkansas State and Coastal go 2-0 this week, and Troy, South Alabama and Marshall go 1-1. There would be a 7-way tie at first place between App State, South Alabama, Marshall, Troy, Texas State, Arkansas State and Coastal Carolina. Good luck figuring that one out.
Yeah, but
talk about tiebreakers.
Yeah, but if that's the case, that's bad for Southern Miss.
Yeah, I think Southern Miss is probably on the outside looking into that top 6 seed, like we've said. But I think they're safely into the top 8, which means they'd be playing on Thursday, I believe, to start the tournament, which means they need to win 5 games to win the thing. So, you know, not ideally where you want to be, but at least, last year they were the 14 seed, so they started like on Tuesday. So
The ladies are roughly in the same scenario, correct?
Yes, they're 7th right now. Obviously took a loss to Troy on Saturday on the road, but they have 2 winnable road games this week coming up.
And when you look at the standings right now for the Sun Belt on the women's side, really those top 5 seeds are pretty much determined now who's going to be where in the top 5, but the 5 schools have been determined. We don't know where they're going to be 1 through 5, but there's that small pack of 5 that is kind of broken away by a couple of games from the rest of the field. So Southern Miss and some of the other teams are playing. Their prize at this point would be the 6th seed in that
Sometimes
tournament.
Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that we're still talking about basketball. I feel like the season is so long.
We started in October.
Yeah, but you talk about 2 winnable games, South Al and Louisiana Monroe, both in the bottom third of the standings. So if you're going to have 2 on the road, those are the 2 you want to have at this point.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Angela, hang on.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. DBAT sponsored that last segment of the program. And tell you about MCS Home Center right now. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction. They've got it all, MCS Home Center, including Kelly's peepers, which he's proudly wearing today. MCS Home Center. I've never seen anybody.
I told you, man, if you have it in and around your home, you're going to need to, they've even got reading glasses, the best available.
MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you, 7329. Highway 98 West, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our program. Their sedans and SUVs, all at their beautiful showroom on Highway 98 West. And finally, I want to say thank you to our good friends at Mo Bay Beignet Company. Great place for weekend desserts. Today would be a great place to go get some hot coffee and some hot beignets in this cold weather. Mo Bay Beignet down on Hardy Street. And finally, don't forget about our podcast. You can hear it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play it for you. All right, news and notes, guys.
And MCS Home Center did, in fact, do my wisdom teeth surgery for $10. So
they
even do wisdom surgery down there.
Well, they got the tools.
Do you
in
get
there.
A pair of peepers to go with the?
I got some other things.
They got
too.
Pliers in there. I know that.
Yeah, Southern Miss in the baseball polls climbed 8 spots in the latest D1 rankings, rising from number 20 to number 12. They jumped 3 spots in the Baseball America poll from 21 to 18. They made the top 10 in the perfect game rankings at number 10 overall. In the athletic poll, they moved up 9 spots, 24th to 15th. They were ranked number 1 in the mid-major rankings by the 11.7 College Baseball Podcast. Unfortunately, no, I'm not going to say that.
In the Getty poll, they're number 1, and there is no number 2.
Hell no, there's no number 2. Now, there's this outlier. We won't even mention it. Who runs Baseball America? Are they just like brain-dead people?
Why?
I think they had Southern Miss ranked like 18th or 19th in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, my Lord. Every year they're the outlier of all the other polls. Do you have any idea why, Mr. Sports Writer?
They're a strange publication for sure. I generally think Perfect Game and D1 Baseball is the best. And number 12, number 10, that's pretty on par. Of course, The Athletic, which is a new poll releasing this year from the New York Times, 24th to start the season, went up to 15. So I think Southern Miss, anywhere in that 10 to 15 spot, is probably where I'd put them. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's lots of good baseball teams out there, but Southern Miss right now, you know.
Worries me a little bit, though. You know, just kind of a little added layer of pressure on.
And as evidenced by the RPI, you can't tell me that there's hardly any schools that are playing that kind of schedule this early on.
Well, RPI, you know, you really can't take RPI. RPI is a grain of salt 6 games into the season. It's not really going to come into focus till March, into March and April, but you're right. You know, it is a nice little feather in your cap to start the season.
Major League Baseball teams in spring training. I'll be headed out there next week. I'll be out there all week long and talking to some of the Major League players who have already had meetings with their player agents. The reason that I'm bringing this up today is if you're a Major League Baseball fan, you better enjoy this coming season because from what I'm hearing, it is not optimistic at all that there's going to be a collective bargaining agreement. All the players are being told by their player representatives to put money aside because they think the lockout next year between the owners and players is going to be significant, at least maybe half the season, because the players will not cave on a salary cap that the NBA and some of the other leagues have. The players will not go for it, and they said if that is what the owners want, negotiations are dead in the water.
It's okay because they still have 100 games left to play, if they're out for this season.
Do you think they have any self-awareness of how little sympathy the average working guy has for a millionaire that gets paid millions of dollars for playing baseball?
I actually asked that exact question, Bob, and my response was what people need to understand. Now, this is what they're selling. This is what the players are selling, is that if you go to a salary cap, the Ohtanis and those guys, they're going to get their money. So that's going to leave a smaller and smaller piece of pie for the guys at the bottom of the rung.
Correct.
And according to the negotiations, the Players Association, that's who they're fighting for, are the guys at the bottom of the rung. Now, still, the minimum amount that they're making is still a pretty good wage in Mississippi.
$700,000.
But the guys at the bottom of the rung, that's who they're fighting for. And again, Ohtani and them are going to get their money. So if you have a salary cap that's less,
is it okay for somebody to just look someone else in the face and say, listen, sorry, you're not Shohei Ohtani.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
Correct.
You're not making as much as him.
Or to look somebody in the face and say, I'm so sorry you're having to make it on $700,000 a year. I mean, I realize that's the minimum, but I would ask this question. How many people do you know making $700,000 a year?
And we got I mean, outside of me, of course.
Well, outside of you, of course.
Right.
But,
and we got
you work for the Pine Belt News.
Right. So it's actually $850.
That goes without saying.
And we got openings at Mercury Woodfire Pizza down the road here. If
who's that?
I'm saying Mercury Woodfire Pizza. If they're not happy with $700,000,
Ozzy made $1.5
million
there.
Yeah.
Mercury Pizza.
So anyway, I'm just saying.
Kudos to Papa John's Pizza. Man, I had a pineapple and ham pizza Saturday.
Pineapple does not belong on a pizza, Bob.
It was delicious.
All right, softball was in action over the weekend. Southern Miss on the road at Louisiana Tech. They took the first game and lost the final two in the rubber match on Sunday. They're back in action on Wednesday night against Nichols in Thibodaux, Louisiana, before back home this weekend at the Hub City Classic. Just wanted to put that in there.
Daniel Stewart on the show tomorrow. Also a good conversation with Josh Ock.
And he's looking good, isn't he?
Golden Eagle baseball is on fire.
Fire, baby.
Fire. Fire. We'll be right back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.